T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
Good choice, Ken. The Chick-fil-A people are stepping it up. Obviously feeling the pressure, Wiggy, when it comes from Popeyes.
Oh, yeah.
And so Chick-fil-A has given away free chicken for life.
Yes.
And the young man who was the winner reminds me of myself at a young age.
As well it should.
A little bit husky.
Yep.
Kid is, where's the kid from, Daniel?
This is from Chick-fil-A.
He had a 00 jersey on. It's weird.
On the Shoba Regional 00 jersey.
Chicktawaga, New York, which is in upstate New York.
Okay. And this kid, how old is he?
He's 11.
Like, he's 11 years old.
11 years old.
Waited out in the freezing cold. Chick-fil-A is doing this promotion, giving away the free chicken for a year. This kid ends up winning, ends up being very, very excited about it. And we have some audio from this young man that we want to share with you this morning.
Well, I'm here in the freezing cold getting free chicken sandwiches because the food tastes great. I mean, it's chicken. It's fried chicken. I like fried chicken.
I love this kid.
He likes fried chicken.
He loves it.
Chicken.
Clearly he hasn't had a Popeyes yet.
Right. They do this. Whenever they open a Chick-fil-A, they'll give free chicken for a year to the first 100 people that show up at that particular location. Oh, so it's a thing that they've done. People line up for this.
But he's getting it for life, though, right?
So I don't think it's not for life, is it?
No, it's only for a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's risky. If you give it to a kid like that for life, you might put yourself right out of business.
The official rules state that you get a grand prize of one sandwich meal per week for a year. So you basically get 52 meals. It's not unlimited.
Okay.
It's chicken. It's fried chicken. I like fried chicken.
Can someone get that kid to say diabetes?
Who doesn't like fried chicken?
Amazing.
I mean, has he not seen the videos of Popeyes?
Mm-hmm.
I know Chick-fil-A's trying, but come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are texting in saying that Chick-fil-A is better than Popeyes.
They're out of their mind.
You know what it is? It's different. Yeah. It's a different texture because you can't get like a crispy chicken at Chick-fil-A.
No.
Chick-fil-A is more like the texture of original recipe KFC.
Yeah. Yeah.
I prefer a spicy, crispy texture. All day long. So yeah, I will go to the Popeyes.
They just haven't had Popeyes yet. That's the only problem.
May have gone back the other day to get one at like 10:30.
It's chicken. It's fried chicken. It's fried chicken. I like fried chicken.
Chicken. Chicken.
Sound like he's drunk.
Stuart. Liked beer. Still like beer.
Stuart likes chicken.
Good thing is that nobody was stabbed or anything while they were waiting at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, people, well, you know, closed on Sundays. A little bit more
that goes to tell you which sandwich is better. Yeah,
I like fried chicken.
Chicken.
The perfect honesty there is so great.
Oh, it's great. It's the honesty of youth.
Mm-hmm.
The naivete of youth.
Yep.
Hello, Mike. Hey, Mike.
Oh, good morning.
What's
good
up?
Good morning.
So I have a joke for Danielle. Danielle, you ready?
Yes.
Did you hear about the art dealer that bought the portrait of Jeffrey Epstein?
No, I didn't, Mike.
Well, he had to buy a hammer and nail. Do you want to know why?
Why, Mike?
Because it wasn't going to hang itself.
Ah!
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad.
I appreciate so many people send me Epstein didn't kill himself memes on like Instagram and Twitter, and I appreciate every single one of you.
Oh, my God.
Well, couple things that I want to mention. One is congratulations to Christian, who was on the air for 25 and a half hours, and raised over $100,000 for the American Diabetes Association.
He pulled the long haul.
He did. And he'll be back on this afternoon recapping everything. But thanks so much to those of you who gave.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And I also want to thank, from the very bottom of my heart, everybody who gave to the Greg Hill Foundation for the family of fallen Worcester firefighter Lieutenant Menard. The donation total on that is up over $165,000.
Awesome.
Right.
That's cool,
now,
man.
Awesome, guys.
Which
nice.
Is just extraordinary. We live, I said this on social media, and I may have said it on the show, but it bears repeating. We live in the most generous place in the world. And that's not it's not a Homer honk thing to say. I mean, people give and give and give and give and give.
Oh, they step up and, constantly.
There's a fundraiser going on to pay that family's mortgage off.
Yes, I saw that.
The Menard family's mortgage.
By Christmas, and, too, right?
Yeah, they want to try to do it by Christmas.
Awesome.
And so to anybody who gave to the Greg Hill Foundation and allowed us to get to that $165,000 mark, like new listeners, old listeners, all of you, I thank you so much. It's amazing. And we're going to write a check for that family today so that they can use that money to alleviate what they're going through financially, stress-wise, and to be able to focus on grieving. And
over $250,000 for the family of James Menard and for the American Diabetes Association, basically in one day on this radio station.
Not too bad.
Yeah, that's
nice work.
Amazing.
We got a lot of really, really, really generous people who listen. And so I cannot say thank you enough. I'll keep saying it over and over and over again. It's Patriots Friday, and it's time to find out what is trending.
Listen to Tom Brady's interview anytime on the radio.com app. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Moxie Soda, distinctively different. Of course, Thursday Night Football, the result of the game, not as discussed as the aftermath. Well, it was marred by, at the end of the game, almost over, 21-7 Browns win over the Steelers, and Myles Garrett rips the helmet off of Pittsburgh quarterback Mason Rudolph, hits him over the head with it. Here are the two parties involved. Here was Rudolph talking afterward.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty cowardly, kind of pretty bush league, which, you know, there's plenty of tape out there to watch. I haven't seen it replay, but yes, I really haven't seen it, anything like that yet.
How do you feel?
I'm fine. I'm good. I'm good to go.
And Garrett had to be kind of dragged in front of the media, but here was what Garrett had to say.
Myles, you want to walk us through that final 8 seconds that final play for you?
Really don't. And I made a mistake. And I lost my cool, and, you know, and I regret it. You know, it's going to come back to hurt our team. You know, the guys who jumped in the little scrum, you know, I appreciate, you know, my team having my back, but it just never got to that point. That's on me.
Lost your cool.
He later called it an accident.
You tried to take the guy's head off.
Right. What was the purpose of it? Like, losing your cool is like you get hit a certain way and you kind of like, you know, like, oh, this guy tried to hurt me, and you're upset and you just don't really think about your next move. But what did he tackled Mason Rudolph after he threw the football. How are you losing your cool on that one?
A texter says that if you did that in any kind of a workplace, you would immediately be arrested.
Absolutely. 100%.
You would immediately be, if you took a stapler.
Yeah.
And whack somebody off the head with it,
you
would be arrested.
Yes, you would.
Why is he any better?
Well, because it's football, and football is not like any other job.
It's not?
No, it's like in, you know, sporting events.
Okay.
It's like when Fitzy swung that handbag at Wiggy the other day. That was nasty.
Yes,
it
was.
That's a man bag, not a handbag.
Bag.
Yes, it's a European carry-all.
I was like, oh my God, a dude just swung a person.
It's a pocketbook.
Patriots injury report for the Pats. John Simon added, limited with an elbow yesterday, along with Patrick Chung, Matt Lacoste, and Danny Shelton. Nate Ebder remained out. Are we going to get Wiggy's official prediction later in the show?
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
I'm sure it's Patriots win, but just how, you know.
Well, I mean, who you betting on?
I actually think the Eagles are going to win this game.
Oh,
okay.
What?
The longer this week goes. Now, N'Keal Harry could change things if he's the star. They need him. They need him this week. That's
all right, but
decision.
You're going with the Eagles.
I'm going Eagles.
I want you on record. You're going Eagles.
Eagles. Tight one. Yep.
Pennsylvania honk.
Absolutely not. Not. Bill Belichick does not lose after a bye week.
Well, the Eagles have a bye week.
I'm talking about Bill Belichick.
Yeah, but it negates it.
Two straight losses and a bye week?
No.
I don't know when the last time we seen Bill do that.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Well, Super Bowl 52. Had a bye week there. How'd that go? Mike Trout, Cody Bellinger, your MVPs. tonight. Bruins at the Leafs, 7 o'clock face-off. Celtics at the Warriors, 10:30 tip. And Alex Cora is being investigated by Major League Baseball regarding the Astros' sign stealing of 2017. This is the Greg Hill Show.
We got to talk about that, too.
Yeah, bizarre. And Cora came on yesterday, one of many big-name guests.
He won't be coming on today. Won't be coming on for an extended period of time, I don't think.
Silence is setting in?
Yes.
Probably true.
Lawyers will say, please don't go on anymore.
It's the Greg Hill Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Lick you from your head to your toes, and I wanna move from the bed down to the floor, and I wanna you make it so good I don't wanna leave, but I gotta know what's your fantasy.
I wanna lick you from your head to your toes, and I wanna move from the bed down to the floor, when I wanna you make it so good I don't wanna leave, but I gotta
I want to get you in the Georgia Dome on a 50-yard line while the Dirty Birds kick the tree. And if you like it in the club, we can do it in the DJ booth or in the back of the VIP.
Wiggy's choice on a Friday.
Luda!
Wiggy's choice.
Just trying to mix it up a little bit.
Mentions boat ride in there.
Bring a little flavor.
Does Luda attend his daughter's appointments at the gynecologist?
No, that's tip.
That's okay.
That's
one.
TI.
It's not everybody in that business.
It's kind of funky.
Are you making
right
a generalization?
Yes, I am. About rappers. Absolutely.
They all look the same.
If you want to call, you want to be on today, 617-779-7937, or you can text on the text line, which is 37937. And the text messages are all about the end of the football game last night and Ken's assertion that there ought to be criminal charges filed. Here's a 774 text, which says, Ken is nuts. Mason Rudolph tried to rip Garrett's helmet off first. Watch his hands. He's trying to grab it. Wiggy and I were talking about that during the break because we were watching it again. We've watched it 100 times. And, I mean, certainly Myles Garrett kind of sits on him there.
Yeah, he initiates the whole thing. He won't get off. He won't get off. And then Rudolph's trying to get off, and he does try to pull his helmet off.
Rudolph kind of tries to pull his helmet off. He's not successful. But I don't care what happened before. You got a guy who should be suspended for an extended period of time for swinging a helmet off the head of another dude.
Right.
I don't think there's any question. There could be any question in anybody's mind that he needs a long time suspension. I don't think it sets a good precedent, Ken, though, for law enforcement to get involved when it comes to sports.
I think it sets the proper precedent.
No, it doesn't, because we're sitting here on Friday, a day after we've had the Antonio Brown investigation, and when you have law enforcement start to poke their nose into the NFL poke their nose into civil cases, all it does is opens, like you said, it opens up the Pandora's
the can of worms. Oh, yeah. You were going to go with Pandora's
box. I was
going
to go whatever you want.
I like Pandora's box or the can of worms.
It opens up a can of worms. Now everything, it could be that maybe a team is playing on the road. They don't like the loss, and now they want, you know, local law enforcement wants criminal charges pressed against somebody for a big hit that they call an assault.
Okay, so if a guy pulls out a switchblade and stabs somebody, should law enforcement get involved?
Well, that's the, I mean, unless
this
is not the last Boy Scout where the guy's running down the field with
a nine millimeter in his hand.
Good movie, though.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Good movie.
I mean, that's a great way to score.
You love movies. Somebody was telling me, I can't remember. Oh, I think it was Upstairs Joe was telling me that that World War II movie, Midway, which is out right now, is really, really good.
It looks really good.
So if you're gonna
the only thing
to-
I don't like about it is PG-13. And I like the my military movies to kind of be rated. I like them to kind of, you know, go a little bit crazy with some of the action because there's a lot of action scenes and blood and gore.
Isn't PG-13 really the same thing as R?
No.
It's not?
No.
Because
you won't see that kind of stuff, right? You won't see that kind of, you know, things blowing up. You might lose a limb here and there in the movie. You won't see that in PG-13.
Upstairs Joe gave it 5 stars.
It does look good, though.
It's a remake of a 70s version of it, right? They did a film Midway in the 70s. This is a remake.
Is it a remake?
I've never seen the original, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is Kevin from The Vineyard. Hello, Kevin.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
How cool.
Remind you, back in the 70s, there was a player on the Bruins named Dave Forbes who sticked a guy in the eye pretty bad, and he was arrested by the Minnesota police after the game. It was so long ago, I can't remember what became of it, but I'm sure he was suspended and all that. But
well, Curtis,
I heard some of your earlier callers saying that, you know, should he be arrested or whatever, but smashing a guy in the head with the helmet like that, that is assault with a dangerous weapon.
Yeah, so you would...
I'll let you guys talk about that.
Yeah, okay.
He was charged with aggravated assault in Minneapolis in 1975 after hitting, butt-ending Henry Bucci's eye socket in a game against the Minnesota North Stars.
And he was a Bruin.
He was a Bruin.
And what happened with the charges? Was he found guilty?
The trial received much publicity, as it was highly unusual for an athlete to face criminal charges. The trial ended in a hung jury. The charges were not refiled.
So what happens if Ken's situation, right? There's a fight in the game. We see fights all the time happen. Isn't that considered assault? If it's just a regular fist fight?
That's been proven not to be really. I mean, even like the Tom Jonovich situation was the most notable in the NBA. There was, you know, a fight, and it's kind of within...
We've seen Crabtree and Aqib Talib have their fight. Odell Beckham have a fight on the field. So couldn't you, theoretically, wherever they're playing, couldn't that local law enforcement go, that's assault?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah. You know, Wiggy was charged in the Vikings party boat incident.
Yeah.
And it ended in a not hung jury.
Pretty good.
I stole that one from Fitzy.
somebody has to fill in for Nick when he's not here. This is Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Curtis. Do you remember when the Bruins were playing Montreal and Chara had Pacioretty's head into the stanchion?
Yes.
And everybody was freaking out up there that Chargers should have been pressed?
Jim, they called 911.
You agree
about
with that?
They did.
Do you think that they should have done that, Curtis?
You mean Ken, because Ken's the one who's saying that.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
Yes,
my bad.
Yes, Ken?
That was more within the... It was within play. So this is different. This is like after a whistle stuff that is... You can't argue is a part of the game flow in any way. This is clearly a separate incident.
It's really going to open up the biggest can of worms ever. The switchblade comparison, it's not even close, dude.
What I would ask Ken, because he's a, you know, he's a hockey guy like myself. So we've seen this before, incidents in games where guys take their hockey stick after there's a little scrum or whatever it may be, and they slash a guy on the shin pads. Now, we don't see the Marty McSorley top of the head, but they take the stick and they use it for a weapon, and they hit a guy across the leg or something like that.
Yeah.
Now, couldn't you say that that's technically an assault?
I don't think it's the same thing, though, because, and I don't agree with Ken, like, I don't think that there ought to be criminal charges. I don't think. But I do understand that what you essentially have is a guy at work grabbing a helmet off somebody else and whacking him over the head with it.
Right.
And that's a guy, by the way, who was in concussion protocol.
Mason Rudolph, yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. What, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, a few weeks ago. But I don't think you can compare regular work with what they do in the NFL. It'd be like trying to compare what police officers do, or there are just certain jobs that you can't compare to regular, everyday, what we do around here in office and cubicles and things of that nature. You just can't compare the two.
But there's also a level of either aggression or escalation, I think, with some of this stuff. Like some of the fighting and the physical contact is par for the course, and you expect to see that.
Right.
Some of it goes complete next level.
Yeah. Greg, the governor has just called in to talk to you.
Hold on a second. Governor Baker?
Hey, Greg, how are you?
What's going on?
Hey, I was just calling to say to your audience and to you all how incredibly generous people were when you put out the call for
Lieutenant Menard's family. I saw the Twitter postings yesterday with respect to how much money your listeners had donated to that family. And Lieutenant Governor Karen Pulido and I were both in Worcester yesterday, and we talked to a lot of people associated with the fire department. And honestly, you folks, your audience does this every time there's a tragedy that involves a first responder and their family. And it is a really beautiful thing. And I don't want to take up much time this morning. I just wanted to call and say thank you to your listeners and to you all for what you do. It's really special, and it makes a big difference.
It's just amazing to me. I was saying, and it's a little bit Homer honkish probably to say this, but I was saying that I think we live in the most generous place in the country, because over and over and over again, we ask and people give. I mean, and it's amazing. That $165,000 came in $5 increments, yeah, and $10 increments, and $25 and $50 increments. We got an anonymous donor who gave $75,000, who everybody would know the name of, and especially if you're into sports in this region. Mm-hmm. And that person insisted on remaining anonymous because they don't want any credit for it. I mean, it's amazing to me, Governor, how generous people are. So I'm really glad that you called, and I know that you guys are focused on doing anything you can to help that family out, because Lieutenant Menard is the greatest of heroes.
He's a bona fide American hero. We actually spent some time at the hospital yesterday talking to the other firefighter who Menard pushed out that window. There are no words in some respects.
Yeah.
But I don't want to take a lot of your time this morning. I just want your audience to know how much their generosity meant to the people in the Menard family and in Worcester. Yeah. Okay?
All right, Governor. Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care.
There's Governor Baker. And if you want to be on the show this morning, 617-779-7937, or you can text on the text line, which is 37937. You can still give to that family, by the way, if you go to thegreghillfoundation.org. That's thegreghillfoundation.org. And our mission is to be able to get money to these families immediately with no red tape. So they will get their check today from us. We will be right back with the news.
It's time for...
Good morning.
The news.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
With your host...
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Danielle Murr.
Because I am good at three things. Fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by the Northeast Men's Clinic.
There's more good news today.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
At the Northeast Men's Clinic, they specialize in the sexual health of men. Learn more at northeastmensclinic.com or call 617-793-5000.
Well, we didn't get a chance to talk about it yesterday, but former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick has formally thrown his hat into the ring for the presidential election. Expand that field a little bigger.
But they ought to list the people who are Democrats who aren't running.
Correct.
There's 100 of them, Ken. 100 of them.
Yep. Only one that counts, Mayor Pete.
Okay,
Cory Booker.
Is Cory still in?
Who knows?
Look.
I believe he is.
Wiggy, you like Cory Booker.
Yes. Deval Patrick.
Ken, you like Mayor Pete.
Yep.
Kamala Harris.
Would you vote for Deval Patrick? I mean, he did a fantastic job when it came to the curtains at the governor's office over there. I mean, he spent $100,000 on curtains.
Yep.
Question number one: how much you lower my taxes?
Deval is not going to be lowering your taxes.
He's so whoever lowers my taxes,
that's the only thing you worry about.
Cory Booker is not going to lower taxes.
Well, he's giving me some money back.
Look.
Yeah, so that could help me with my taxes.
Wow. How is Cory Booker giving you money back?
Reparations, man.
Oh, you want reparations?
Yes.
Oh, you say man at the end of it.
Yes.
Reparations, man.
Well, yeah. And he dates Rosario Dawson, who was just in Zombieland.
Yeah.
Looking good. And I saw Sin City. So, hey, good for Cory Booker.
All right. Well,
good for the brother.
7 degrees of Sin City is how you're finding your next president?
Yes.
Yep.
I like the brother in the White House.
Mm.
I do believe that whoever said, I think it was Curtis said the other day, that Obama had not endorsed Joe Biden because he knew that Deval Patrick was getting in the race.
Absolutely.
Do you think he now? Do you think he endorses Deval, or do you think he just stays out of it?
Good question. I think he may. I think he may endorse Deval.
You do?
Yeah.
You think so?
They're buds.
They are. Yeah.
They're buds.
Obama
man.
Came here and said, "I always listen to Deval. Whenever he speaks, I listen."
Yeah.
Like he is a buddy buddy.
We have some audio from Deval's announcement.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deval Patrick. I used to be governor of Massachusetts. I am today announcing my candidacy for president of the United States. Come be a part of this. We will build as we climb to welcome other teachers and learners, other seekers of a better way and builders of a better future. This won't be easy, and it shouldn't be. But I'm placing my faith in the people who feel left out and left back, who just want a fair shot at a better future, not built by somebody better than you, not built for you, but built with you.
Hi. Built with you.
Hi.
Hi. Look.
I'm Deval Patrick.
Look, I'm running for president.
Look.
Look.
Yeah.
It's too many Democrats.
Look.
Too many.
In general or in the race?
Well, you know, depends. But in the race, there's way too many. There's not that lead dog. Mm-hmm. At least in the Republican Party, it's... Trump is that lead dog.
Wiggy, a texter wants to know, since you're half Italian, why you don't identify ever as Italian.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
You called Tom Brady a made man earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm Blackalian.
Yes.
Half black and half Italian. Yes.
Huh.
I do.
That sounds like a sub you'd get at Meridian Market. Let me get the Blackalian.
Yeah, well, that could be the Wiggy special, the Blackalian.
We'll rename it. For the second time in a week, a commuter rail train was barreling down the track at full speed with one of the doors open.
You're kidding me.
We talked about this the other day. There was a situation on the Middleborough-Lakeville line. Now, this incident was on the Kingston line. Left South Station last night at 5:38 p.m. Now, the T this time is blaming it on a passenger and not some kind of mechanical error. But Mary Jean Kelly took video of the door open, and she spoke with, I believe, Boston 25.
It stayed open. I got off at Quincy Center, and the door was open the entire ride from South Station to Quincy Center.
Yeah, that was to WHDH that she spoke.
Oh, the MBTA is like an amusement park ride.
Seriously.
Like, you never know, you know, you don't know if there's going to be air conditioning, whether there's going to you're going to have any power in the train, whether the driver is going to be drunk or asleep.
It's hit or miss.
Whether the doors are going to fling open or another train is going to be in the way when you're, I mean, it's, you're taking your life into your own hands. They got to fix that.
Oh, that's a good selfie, though, with the door open.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I would take public transportation if it could be relied on more.
No,
I would love to get rid of my gas guzzling SUV.
No, you wouldn't. That's insane.
And jump on the blue line.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Like, right to Maverick.
Right. Yeah. I would love to. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
What's going on, Mike?
Same old same. I wanted to talk to Wiggy, and you say with Wiggy that you want to vote for someone who got to lower your taxes or give you reparations.
Right.
You need to vote. You need to vote for someone who's going to help the whole unit, not just yourself. And really, and shouldn't you only get half the reparations as the other black folks because you're only half black?
Well, I'll take half.
Good point.
I'll take half.
Half.
I don't, yeah.
You don't care.
Yeah, I'll take half.
Even if it was a quarter. You just want a check.
Yeah. I mean,
give me a damn check.
Wiggy, would you just give me a check, mofo.
Give me a check, mofo.
Right? I mean, the government giving out checks anyways, right?
By the way, a woman paid at Market Basket in front of me yesterday with a check.
Oh.
Wow.
I was shocked.
Is that bothersome to you?
Jesus.
Well, I mean, it takes a little while.
You haven't 1985?
You haven't seen a check in a while?
I'm like, what do they put? Is she writing a check, Martha?
Glenn was in front of you?
I guarantee you she was 90 years old. And she said, here's the coupons to go with the check.
She was a little older, yeah.
Well, that's nothing. I was coming out of the Prue Tunnel yesterday, and a bicycle rider was heading in it.
What? In the Prue Tunnel?
That's wildly illegal, I believe.
Yes, it is.
Wiggy, I know you don't like the people on the bicycles.
Well,
it's a grown man.
Right.
Probably was, I don't know, 35, 36 years old. Coming up the Prue Tunnel, not on the Copley side, but the other side.
The other side, yeah.
Where you come out near Cheesecake Factory or whatever. And the guy this is rush hour, commuting time, and the guy is riding his bike down the wrong way.
Is he gonna loop around to the Pike eastbound?
I don't know.
What the hell?
He probably gave you a dirty look.
He probably did.
He's like, get your car off the road. The road is for bikes.
Right, these big trucks. What are you doing? Hogging up all this little shoulder I'm supposed to be having my bike. I need to go from one exit to another.
God, that's a nightmare. There's an English man who received 6 months in jail for making prank burping phone calls to the police.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
How many?
He made 13 calls on September 24th and then 19 on the 27th.
Okay.
The police prosecutor said that the calls were easily distinguished as being made by the same guy because he was audibly belching down the phone line.
Oh, he had a distinctive burp?
He did. We actually we actually have some sound from England, so it's 999, I think, instead of 911.
Cash Race Emergency. Yes, hi. I mean, obviously, I know what you're doing, but you did this. You were doing this the other day. Hello?
Hello? Hello? Can you not do that, please? We've got police business to attend to. Somebody's dying down the street.
We know it's you.
Stop it. Hello? Oi. I like fried chicken.
there's a woman. I was reading this a couple days ago. There was a woman in New York who's in trouble. They suspect that she made 24,000 bogus 911 calls since June of this year.
24,000?
24,000.
What kind of a plan does she have?
Well,
how many minutes does she get?
She's got an unregistered prepaid cell phone. Oh. Yogita Persaud is her name. She was finally tracked down Friday. On the day she was arrested, she made over 200 calls just on one day. And she would call and say that, like, about an emergency. She'd be like, there's an apartment on fire or somebody got hit by a car. None of it was true. Mm. But, you know, they have to send the police and fire out to respond. So they're trying to associate her with the rest of the calls. But, yeah, they're thinking somewhere upwards of 24,000 calls since June of this year.
Arrest her.
Absolutely. Right. Nice.
She should do some time for that.
Uh-huh.
508 text, obscure reference, the dude wrote a check at the supermarket.
Yes, he did.
In Big Lebowski.
I'm the dude.
And this 781 texter is more concerned that you were at Market Basket on a Thursday because Saturday morning is normally when you do your shopping early at the Market Basket.
That's correct. I usually do go around 6:30 on Saturday mornings. I needed something quickly, and I happened to be over in the Trader's Way Plaza in Salem, and I'm like, you know what? Let me see. And I read the temperature of the parking lot. There were a few open spaces. Didn't look like there was going to be a lot of line activity. So I knew it was, I could get in and out quick.
The dude's check, by the way, 69 cents, if I remember correctly.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, that is correct.
Ken. Nobody F's with the Jesus, yes. Ken. There's a paramedic in Hot Springs, Arkansas, in trouble for cutting a ring off the finger of a deceased patient.
This is a horrible story.
It really is.
I saw it on the news last night. So the patient died, and the EMT, paramedic, whatever, cut the finger off so that she could steal the ring.
Yep.
The lady's, or it was the lady's ring.
Yes. Yeah. The ring was valued at nearly $8,000. She cut the ring, removed it from the patient. When the family raised concerns, they were able to do an investigation, and they found out that the ring had been pawned just a few miles away from where the accident happened for only $45. So their family is very understandably upset about that. And she, Lisa Glaze, 50 years old, the medic in question, is going to be back in court on November 26th. She's facing 10 years in prison on a Class C felony charge. Ow.
Oh, somebody had a drug problem, huh?
Something.
I mean, $45.
Right. That's a quick offload.
A 207 texter from my adopted home continent of Maine.
Yeah, buddy.
Wants to know if the elderly woman that used the check at the Market Basket was buying Chuckles.
No, she was not buying Chuckles. That. No.
Chuckles is not old person
yes,
candy, as
it
many,
is.
Of
most
you,
certainly
many of you
Chuckles.
Are indicating.
Chuckles.
Write
Chuckles.
The check.
Yeah, it's definitely old person candy. If you're looking for a job this year and you like the Hallmark Channel, you could get paid $1,000 to watch 24 Hallmark Christmas movies in 12 days. CenturyLinkQuote.com is taking applications for the gig. Only a few requirements. You have to be 18, U.S. resident, and you have to love Christmas. And of course, because it's 2019, you have to be willing to talk about your experience on social, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Pretty good gig.
It really is. You
Not
have
bad.
To. Now you can watch from your home.
Yeah.
The only requirement really is that you watch the 24 movies in the 12 days by Christmas. And if you're chosen for the gig, they'll send you a binge-watching package, which includes a streaming service subscription, a packet of hot cocoa, a box of Christmas cookies, a string of fairy lights, mini Christmas tree, and more Hallmark swag than you could ever need.
Wiggy, what's your favorite Christmas movie?
My favorite
Christmas... If you could only watch one.
If I can only watch one, it's A Wonderful Life.
Really?
Yeah, with Jimmy Stewart.
Ken?
Yeah, that's my favorite. That's your it's favorite Wonderful too? Life is my favorite. Every year, tradition. Yeah,
yeah, that's what we do. Every year we watch it with the kids. They hate it. They never get through it, but I always try to watch it because that's what I used to do when I was younger.
I mean, such a feel-good ending. Unbelievable.
I think Danielle's is Elf.
That's up there, but I'd have to say Home Alone. Home Alone would be my number one.
Oh, yeah.
And a lovely cheese pizza just for
I don't want to start the Die Hard debate, but
it is a Christmas movie.
I think Die Hard, I think it is a Christmas movie.
What Love Actually isn't yours?
I do like Love Actually.
It's a great movie.
That's not a bad one. That's a rom-com.
Why don't you say Die Hard's not a Christmas movie?
Well, there's a big debate about it, like whether or not there's enough Christmas in it. I mean, it's
centered around Christmas time.
John McClane is going out there for Christmas celebration with his estranged family, but it's not really a Christmas theme to it.
Right, I understand, but premise is around Christmas.
It's like Home Alone. I mean, is Home Alone really a Christmas movie, Danielle?
To me, yes.
It is?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about Beautiful Girls?
That's just a weird
pedophile
soulmate.
Have you watched that?
Yeah,
you know, Danielle.
No, I haven't watched that.
He's not going to watch
it. No.
What do you mean?
I haven't watched because there's a show that is better than any show I've ever seen called The Godfather of Harlem with Sam Jackson because he's in everything. Forrest Whitaker.
The Godfather of Harlem?
The Godfather of Harlem.
That's what you're watching now?
Yes. Chaz.
Is it Netflix?
It's Epics.
Oh.
Chaz. How do you say his
name? Perry?
He's in it.
Him.
Vincent
D'Onofrio?
Yes, he's in it. Very good movie.
not so good with the
not
names.
To be confused, I mean,
you're an
Vince's
Italian
G.
and you can't get the names right.
Servino's in it.
Mira?
No, not Mira, the father. Paul Servino, yes. It's a good, good movie. TV series on Epics. Godfather of Harlem.
I like A Christmas Story, too. That's a great movie.
That is a great
you'll
movie.
Shoot your eye out.
That's a great movie.
I feel like I can only really watch that in earnest every, 3 years.
Really?
I get worn out quick.
The Christmas Vacation movie's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good if you like a comedy.
Lights aren't going to hang themselves, Rusty. Neither did Epstein.
Wiggy, Danielle calls me a pedophile because I like this film called Beautiful Girls. I think it's the greatest movie ever.
It's a movie?
I don't call you a pedophile. I say the movie has a pedophilia-based theme because that Tim Hunt and Natalie Portman relationship is weird.
It's not weird.
It's weird.
What's the movie based on?
First of all, here's why I love it. I've lived here my whole entire life.
Yes.
53 years old. It's based in Massachusetts.
Okay.
You got a bunch of people that are going back home for a reunion.
Yeah.
High school reunion at Christmas time. And it's all about, the small town thing, the Stowe small town mentality.
Yeah.
And and then it's about this soulmate thing where Natalie Portman.
Who's 13.
Okay.
Happens to be.
And ice skating.
Timothy Hutton's. Timothy Hutton's soulmate, his character's soulmate, but they meet at the wrong time. It's like fate has intervened.
Well, then you got to ignore that. It's like Peter Cook and his fiance. Ignore it.
So
move on, Timothy Hutton.
With regard to Peter Cook, which was my lead today.
Yes.
I don't care about the stealing the sign scandal in Major League Baseball.
No, although
I think it may cost the Boston Red Sox a general manager.
About a manager.
No, I won't cost him a manager.
But I care more about the fact that Peter Cook now apparently lied about the age of his fiance, his soulmate, and she's actually 20 years old.
Do you think he got her a fake ID?
We spent a lot of time on this on the show because Peter Cook, who's the ex-husband of Christie Brinkley, is 60 years old, and he's engaged to be married to this soulmate of his.
Yes.
And he had said she was 21 because or 22 or something like that because that would make her older than his daughter.
Right.
But it turns out that she's actually only 20. And I won't stand for
That makes a big difference.
That one year.
That year and a half maybe.
Probably makes a big difference to the daughter.
Yeah.
That's why he lied about it because he knew the daughter was going to be all upset about it. I mean,
you don't think she'd be upset if she's the same age or even if she happens to be a year older than me? No.
I feel like that 1 year skewed younger thing, it winds up being a thing. Even though it's not that far off in age, it's like,
okay, at least they're the same age. Yeah. Or at least she's 1 year older, but she's young, 1 year younger.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
Do you think maybe she's going out with him so that he can buy for her? Like, what? That's why she needs him to buy booze for her.
Well, yeah. She's probably got a fake ID. She doesn't need a 65-year-old man buying her booze.
She's partying in the Hamptons. They don't need an ID, period.
I mean, let's be honest. She's going out with him for one reason and one reason only.
Mm-hmm.
Keep putting that money in my bank account.
It's not as high tea.
Yeah.
Here's a Rhode Island texter asking why, if I've lived here my whole life, I don't have a Massachusetts accent. I don't know. I never had one. I don't know why. I guess occasionally maybe
Stowe,
I drift into
that's
it.
Why.
Yeah, Stowe.
What do you mean? Stowe's in Massachusetts.
Yeah, but you know, it's not really like.
What do you mean?
It's not.
It's in the middle. It's in the heart of the Commonwealth.
There's certain areas.
It's in the middle of the state.
Yeah, but
you're
there's certain.
Are there?
It's like Dover. Dover, we're surrounded by towns that have accents, like Needham, Westwood, but Dover and Sherburn don't have accents.
Dover. Yeah. Excellent example.
It's
Dover.
Because they're taught, you know, in those areas. We don't talk like that. We got to eliminate
things. I was never taught not to
you got to pronounce
that. Well,
yeah, why don't you try coming to one of my family's christenings in East Boston up the Heights?
Yeah. It's like, what? You know, they're teaching you got to be proper when you talk.
Right.
I'm from Wellesley. We don't say car. We say car.
We don't say Costa Rica.
We don't say Costa Rica.
We don't say Laura.
On his way to work at the coffee shop is going to be wearing a helmet. I mean, that's just like, it's not.
But that's the whole point. That's the lunacy of trying to apply real life laws onto a football
team. You can't apply real life.
Not in the world of football.
So what if? So Mason Rudolph, he's coming off a concussion,
right?
What if he fell to the ground and was in a coma? I mean, it's a very real possibility.
Well, then you're taking it to the next level, right? So now he's in a coma, and you know what
a coma?
He's in a coma. Sorry,
Jerome.
Come on,
Jerome.
Stowe people, he's in a coma.
Yes.
He's in a coma.
He's in a coma.
Right. What then now happens is now. The severity of the act led to this injury, which then, if his family wants to press charges or something along those lines, then maybe you can go down that road. But I think when you look at, okay, he's not, there clearly wasn't anything that he said after the game that he was fine. You can't now then say, okay, could we then press, because what does pressing charges do? Ken.
Well, you're suing the NFL for concussions after the fact. Why wouldn't Mason Rudolph be able to
that
sue?
Was
that's because he wants his check.
Because I want my check.
Several chances. He got several opportunities to get checks.
And
NFL lawsuit and Cory Booker.
Right. And most guys will tell you that by suing the NFL, it wasn't about the money. It was about the awareness because they're not paying anybody. Right.
If they give you money, you're going to turn that down.
Well, no, I'm not going to turn it down. But the likelihood of them giving you money put it like this. Kaepernick's got a better chance of being on a team than I do getting a penny from the NFL. But what ends up happening in this situation here is if now, what does the assault charges do? He probably ends up getting no jail time, Myles Garrett, right? And he probably pays a fine, and it somehow is considered a misdemeanor.
But doesn't it set a precedent for a bunch of guys who might think about trying to do something like this in the future?
No, that's what the suspension will do. You suspend them for 10 games. That's what the next guy will then look at and go, wait a second, if I take my helmet off and hit somebody, there's a chance I'm going to lose a ton of money doing it.
This is Jay from Boston. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Hey. I usually don't agree with Ken and his takes, but, I mean, what if someone was to take their skate off and start stabbing someone in the chest with the skate? I mean, you're using a piece of equipment as a dangerous weapon. That's not what it's intended for. That's not part of the game. Whether it's a stick, a helmet, a skate, you're using it as a weapon to do bodily harm. That's a crime.
But, Jay, they do it in hockey all the time. They use their sticks to hit people.
You're not taking it and two-handing it across someone's head like Marty McSorley.
Well, maybe not across it, but what's the difference if I two-hand you across the head or two-hand you across the leg? If you just went
the
extreme.
You're taking a helmet off.
But you can't, wait, Jay, you just went the extreme, Jay. You went the extreme of saying a guy taking a skate off, right? So now then I'm saying, well, if a guy two-hands a guy across the leg or the waist, we see it all the time, he's still using that stick as a weapon. So why not have an assault charge there? It's all based on where he hits the guy?
Based on how it's used. In the two-hand cross-check is a call that usually has a major penalty. It's not intent with a two-hand cross-check. He gets a major penalty. He's not winding up like a string for a 300.
Yeah, but we see it all the time. His intent, if I punch you in the face or I punch you in the chest, the intent was still to punch you. Same way in hockey is if you use your stick to hit somebody over the head or hit somebody in the leg, the intent was to hit them.
Wiggy, when you sign up to play hockey, you expect a certain amount of stick work to the legs.
Stick work. But we've seen after plays where guys have taken their stick, and Greg, you've seen it because you've said you're a hockey fan.
What do you mean I've said it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You're acting like it's not verified.
No, you said you're a hockey fan.
You post a couple of videos at the end of an OT.
I was on the ice, game 7 in Vancouver.
Right. Looking at your phone.
Hoisting the Stanley Cup above my head with some help because it was very heavy.
So you wrapped around Cam's leg. It was a little odd.
You didn't even see Whitey Bulger.
So the point that I'm making is that you've seen guys use their sticks to hit players.
Yeah.
Not necessarily have to be over the head.
But I believe that in the case of Marty McSorley, if you're swinging your stick at a guy's head with the intent of taking his head off, like Garrett was last night, then maybe you ought to be charged. Like, maybe I agree with Ken. I get it.
But then it goes back to the open up the can of worms. What about the fan who then goes, well, what about somebody who two-hand slashed one of our favorite players across the hand, and now the guy's got a broken wrist? Yeah. That can be considered assault.
Yeah, this is Jack in the car. Jack, what's up?
Hey, what do you say? Nice job you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Listen, this issue right here is strictly an NFL issue.
Right.
It's not a court issue. And what about this? So when Garrett hit the ground, one of the Steelers players was laying the boots to him. You're going to charge that guy, Ken? Ken, what about that?
I think he should be charged. I wouldn't expect he gets anywhere near as close to the punishment that Garrett would, but I bet you he does get charged.
So why should he be charged with assault? Because he kicked the guy?
Yeah, he's kicking him in the face while he's down. You can't do that. You can't step on a guy's head when he's down like Albert Haynesworth did. Yeah. You can't boot. It's beyond the pale.
Can I choke somebody when he's down? This is the problem that we run into.
Yeah. And the NFL already has this set up. If you hit someone with your helmet and they're not expecting it and they're unprotected, they get a 15-yard penalty. If you do what Myles Garrett did yesterday, it's a 6-10-game suspension. That's how it's going to be litigated. It shouldn't be done by a DA in Cleveland.
This is Brian from Dighton. What's up, Brian?
Hey, how you doing? Wiggy, pretty intelligent man at times, but in this conversation,
I think losing you.
What's that? Thank you for the compliment.
I cut him off because he was going to say you were.
I thought he said some good stuff.
I don't know.
No.
I heard Wiggy's intelligent.
Brian, you back?
Yes.
All right, so what were you going to say, Brian? We lost you for a minute.
No, Wiggy, sometimes you make intelligent arguments, but in this case, you're totally off base.
Okay.
Obviously, someone getting hit with a helmet when they have no padding on, their own helmet, that's not part of the game at all. Okay, that's where criminal charges could come in. But using a hockey stick, that's part of the game.
Yes.
So it depends on their intent. So you're saying it could open up a can of worms. Well, Jesus. If we're playing basketball and I box you out and I bump into you, let's charge me with assault and battery,
But I'm the one who said that I don't think it should be assault charges because those are the things, Brian, that you will run into. That's what I'm saying to Ken, is you will run into that. You get a guy who gets into a
someone's head?
Huh?
A football helmet at someone's head, you're going to run into that?
No, but you get a guy who gets into a fight in a hockey game. And he gets beat up, and the other team wants to press, or the law enforcement wants to press charges for assault.
That's never happened in the history of the NHL. That doesn't happen. That's part of the game. That's part of the NHL.
I mean, what if Mason Rudolph lost an eye? He could have lost an eye.
Right, but
in all honesty, I do think the fact that he wasn't seriously injured is a mitigating circumstance here. The fact that he was able to talk.
So the intent has nothing to do with it.
No, I'm saying
if the guy was in a coma. Then we'd file charges.
I believe that may have been the case.
You think so?
Yes. I think that the fact that he was talking after the game and he said, I'm okay, is a huge reason why he won't be charged.
Hmm. All right. Coming up, Wiggy has some advice for Colin Kaepernick, and it's not going to make the commish very happy, so we'll get to that coming up on today's show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.